Live Creative Now, episode 25.
Welcome to Live Creative Now with Melissa Dinwiddie, a weekly podcast to inspire you to create your art and share your work, because that's how you will change the world.
Hey, brilliant. This is Live Creative Now, the podcast for anyone with a creative hunger, whether you think of yourself as, quote unquote, not artistic, not creative, or if you think of yourself as an artist, any kind, or anything in between, because no matter how you define yourself, feeding your creative hungers makes you feel more alive, and it is how you change the world. I am Melissa Dinwiddie, passion pluralite artist, happiness catalyst, and creativity instigator, here to address all your questions about living a full-color creative life. Today on the podcast, what do a sick German Shepherd and a heart-opening retreat experience have in common? Well, a lot more than you'd think, it turns out, and it has everything to do with living a full-color life. But first, I want to give you a heads up that next month, November, is my birthday month! Yes, I'm turning 49! And on November 7th, I am having a big bash. And you are invited. I decided that what I wanted to do for my birthday was to perform a benefit concert to raise money for Jazz Camp West. And if you're in the San Francisco Bay Area, you can reserve a seat to join me live in 3D. You'll find a link in the show notes, or just go to livecreativenow.com/birthday-concert. And if you're not in the San Francisco Bay Area, if you're anywhere else in the world, you can also join me live, because I am going to live stream the entire thing. So again, just go to livecreativenow.com/birthday-concert for more info. The venue has been donated. It's a beautiful house concert venue called Ava Nova, where I have performed before. So because it's been donated, every penny I raise from this concert, minus any processing fees for PayPal or whatever, it all goes to fund scholarships to Jazz Camp West. I have been going to Jazz Camp West since 2006, and it is so dear to my heart. They have an incredibly generous scholarship program. About 20% of campers receive some sort of financial assistance, and I have been the recipient of scholarships for many of the years that I've been going to Jazz Camp West. Last year, I got to be on faculty. I taught the ukulele orchestra, which was great fun, and I cannot even tell you how much I love Jazz Camp. I count the days every year to when Jazz Camp West rolls around again at the end of June. And it makes me so happy to be able to give back and to do it with my music on my birthday weekend. It's so remarkably special. And I really hope you can join me. Again, just go to the show notes or go to livecreativenow.com/birthday-concert. to get more info and to reserve your seat, either in 3D in Oakland, California, or online, wherever you are on the planet. And now, on with today's episode. Live creative now. So as I'm recording this, my parents are out of town. They have been on a long trip back east, as we say out here, out west in California. They're back east to visit my nephew, also known as their grandson. So Miracle Man and I have been dog sitting. Miracle Man is my husband. We've been dog sitting for their German Shepherd, Chloe. Now, Chloe's about 8 years old, but people often think that she is a puppy because she is highly, highly energetic. And I think she still has more energy than most puppies do. Plus, she's a bit ADD. She's a real sweetheart, But it is a lot more work for me when she's around. And honestly, sometimes she really drives me crazy. The house is much harder to clean when she's here because in addition to all the kitty fluffs that Nika, our very fluffy Siberian cat, leaves all over the place, the carpet is embedded with doggy fluffs. It also takes me a lot longer to get to work in the morning because I have to brush her and feed her. And we have this ridiculous white carpet that the house came with. So I put on doggy booties every time she goes outside and take them off every time she comes inside so she doesn't track muddy paw prints all over the carpet. And there are still inevitable stains on the carpet from, you know, doggy puke or doggy accidents of various kinds that require, you know, a lot of elbow grease and stain remover. My beautiful bamboo floor in my studio is permanently gouged from her claws. And Nika does not like Chloe at all. And there are the inevitable standoffs between them, which require a certain amount of monitoring to make sure nobody gets hurt. So all that aside, she stopped eating for 3 days. I came home, I came back from Life as a Verb camp, and Chloe had been at the kennel, and I picked her up, and she was fine at the kennel. She ate totally fine, but she wouldn't eat when she got home. And 3 days of this, and then she vomited on the white carpet, of course. And, you know, whatever irritation my husband and I might have felt gave way pretty quickly to a lot of concern. And we immediately made an appointment to take her in to the vet. This is a dog that will eat like she lives for food. So not eating was seriously concerning. Now, thankfully, everything is fine. They hydrated her with a liter of water that they, you know, injected under her skin. And we joked that she looked like the hunchback dog of Notre Dame. They gave her some anti-nausea medication, and they sent us home with antibiotic pills and instructions to feed her only bland food. She could have cottage cheese or white rice or boiled chicken breast without the skin for 3 days. And it worked. We were so relieved when her appetite came back and she was back to her normal behavior of being a furry four-legged vacuum. As I said, this dog lives for food. But the thing that was really interesting to me was how Chloe getting sick made both me and my husband feel closer to her. This is one of the gifts of vulnerability. Chloe was really vulnerable when she was sick. She totally relied on us, and it pulled us in. Our loving feelings, which sometimes get kind of buried under irritation, all those loving feelings rose to the top. And I noticed my husband, who is not nearly as attentive to the animals as I am, he was a lot more attentive to her than he'd ever been before. And my heart really softened also. We were able to appreciate her more. And we were more able to tap into the love that was already inside of us because she showed us her vulnerability. Now, this is the same for humans as it is for dogs. And it struck home in such a powerful way the last weekend of September when I was at Life as a Verb camp, which I've mentioned previously in previous episodes. I experienced that weekend over and over again how vulnerability forges a connection where nothing else can. There was one woman, Evelyn Kalinowski, who I know from online, who I have admired for years, and honestly, I felt kind of intimidated by her because she always seemed so elegant and savvy and so much more successful at her business than I am. And she was one of the speakers, and she got on stage and shared this heart-rending story of an illness that went undiagnosed for years, and years of going to doctors and having them tell her it's all in your head and all kinds of other shaming doctor behavior. And then she finally was being wheeled into an 11-hour surgery, which wasn't even guaranteed to help and was probably going to leave her permanently, turn her into a diabetic permanently. And as she was being wheeled in, she looked at her husband of 10 years or so and realized that he no longer loved her. She shared this painful, painful story and was so open and vulnerable about sharing that. And someone else at camp, who I've always thought of as just this unflappably confident, strong woman, stood up to share her story of being violently raped by a coworker at age 27, and the really painful aftermath of being a persona non grata at work because she pressed charges, and her experience of going to court and having her reputation raked over the coals, and, you know, all this stuff that happens, and, you know, especially 30 years ago or whenever she was going through this, happened even more. And she got up and told this story with so much vulnerability and courage. And another woman who I remember thinking, wow, she just seems so together, you know, so much more together than I ever will be. And she totally blew me away when she got up to the microphone on the last night to share a really painful story of going through mental illness and a devastating suicide attempt. Now, these are just a tiny sampling of the stories that I heard at camp, and they were all the stories were all as unique as the individuals telling them. But they had one thing in common. Their vulnerability made me feel more connected to them. Our vulnerability is our strength. We fear that our vulnerability is our weakness. And we have this sense that only by sharing our carefully crafted masks and our shiny highlight reels, that's the only way that we are going to be lovable. But in fact, the opposite is true. The stories of vulnerability that people shared at camp made me love them all the more. It made me feel so drawn to them. That woman I'd been intimidated by, I felt this amazing connection, and I felt so powerfully drawn toward her. And the same thing with the other two and all the other people at camp who shared their stories. I felt drawn to them, connected by a golden filament. We were part of a web of humanity, vulnerability, recognition. I see you. I identify with you. And here's what happened. I fell in love over and over that weekend. And it was people's willingness to be vulnerable with each other that swelled my heart big enough to contain it all. It was their vulnerability that made me fall in love with them, not their perfect shiny highlight reels. We have so much fear that our dark, shadowy places are going to scare people away. But in fact, to paraphrase Leonard Cohen, it's our cracks that let the light in. It's our places of deepest shame and vulnerability that forge the most powerful connections with other people. Now, I don't know if this is accurate Latin, but I would say caveat relator, I think is how it would be pronounced. What that means is sharer beware. This fact that vulnerability is what forges connections doesn't mean that you should share your most powerful, your most painful experiences with just anybody. Think about poor Chloe. If she had been surrounded by a pack of rabid wolves when she got sick, the outcome would not have been nearly so pretty, right? And people can act like rabid wolves too. So it takes some thoughtfulness to know when and with whom it's appropriate to expose your soft underbelly. When you're in a safe environment, though, when you share your dark stories, it generates love. Patty Dye, who is the woman behind Life is a Verb Camp and the best-selling author of Life is a Verb and other books, and I'll have links in the show notes, Patty Dye has this wonderful saying that really stuck with me from camp this year. She says, "The shortest distance between two people is a story." And boy, did I get it this year. By the end of camp, I felt like wrapped up in this hug. I felt like I was happily, joyfully cuddled up with these 100 plus other people, and I wanted to get even closer. Now, the beautiful thing is that this also works in the other direction. Wes Angelozzi, I think is how you pronounce the name. I am not sure. But I saw a quote from Wes that I absolutely love. He writes, "Go and love someone exactly as they are, and then watch how quickly they transform into the greatest, truest version of themselves. When one feels seen and appreciated in their own essence, one is instantly empowered." Oh, you have probably experienced that when somebody has seen you as exactly as you are, as yourself, and appreciated that. How empowering that is. And another beautiful thing is that this is also true for our relationship with ourselves. I have been learning so powerfully over the past several years that the more I accept myself exactly as I am, warts and all, the more worthy of love I feel, which really isn't surprising. I mean, if I accept myself, then I'm saying that I'm worthy, right? So of course I would feel worthy of love from others the more I accept myself. And the more I accept myself and the more worthy I feel, the more that enables me to grow into the greatest, truest version of me, to relax into that version. And that, in turn, makes me willing to be more vulnerable. It's really this beautiful, virtuous circle. That's what I have to share today. Not a bad lesson from a sick dog. So, thank you, Chloe. That's it. That's a wrap. Thank you so much for joining me today. If you'd like to get a chance to chat with me live and ask your own questions about living a full-color creative life, you can, because through the end of 2015, I'm holding live calls on the first Tuesday of every month. Just go to livecreativenow.com/questions and click the big green button to register. That's livecreativenow.com/questions. Meanwhile, if you are getting value out of this podcast, the best way to thank me is to tell your friends and leave a 5-star rating and review on iTunes. Those ratings and reviews make so much difference to me, and they make a really big difference in how the show is ranked. And that makes a big difference in helping other people find it. And that helps grow the creative uprising so we can change the conversation around creative expression and play. And you can play a really important role in this movement simply by leaving a review. Plus, I would be so grateful. It would really mean so much to me. Meanwhile, don't forget that my birthday bash is coming up, and you can find out more about that at livecreativenow.com/birthday-concert. Thanks again for joining me, and until next time, go get creating! Mwah.
Live creative now.
Subscribe at livecreativenow.com.